We're all here to design to be working through things and sharing about it and going through our experiences in life. There's no like one that's better or worse than the other.
This is the Alchemized Life podcast, and I am your host, Ava Johanna, transformational mentor, speaker, teacher, and most importantly, a woman on a mission to bring wellness to the world. This podcast was created to bridge the gap for anyone craving more love, health, and happiness in each and every day. And with every episode, you will receive practical guidance to create magic in your own life. Combining the expertise of wellness visionaries and thought leaders, each week we will bring it back to basics and provide you with the tools meant to empower you to thrive emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So together, let's ditch the mean girl, you can't sit with us vibes, grab your favorite yoga pants, and start to find your uniquely alchemized life. Good morning, guys. Welcome back to the Alchemized Life podcast. If it's not morning, hello, good afternoon, good evening. I hope you are having an incredible, magical day wherever you are in the world, and I am so excited to have you here today listening to the Alchemized Life podcast as we officially hit our one-year launch mark. It's been a crazy and wild year. I am totally the type of person that like gets super excited about some sort of new project or something like that, and then I do it for like a month or two, and then I'm like, oh my god, I gotta do this all the time, and then I stop. And so the amount of, I would say, discipline I've had to have with myself over the past year, and remembering that this podcast is so much bigger than me, and you know, I have a duty to show up on a weekly basis, has been such a cool learning experience to now, you know, have in my tool belt of like, okay, I can do this. I can do something on a weekly basis and show up and like be consistent. And it's really inspired me to look at different ways in which I can grow this out and continue building different platforms and just sharing all of these tools in as many ways as possible. So thank you guys for taking the ride with me. And if this is your first time tuning in, hello. This is our 1 year anniversary / birthday episode / week. And I'm happy to have you here. I am currently in the midst of a 4-day reset cleanse with Owl Venice. And if you guys have been listening for a while, you know that I did this a couple months ago, right before the wedding. And it was wild, the amount of changes and shifts I saw within my physical body and as well as my mind over the course of 4 days. And, you know, I'm like not the type of person to stick with a cleanse. Again, it's hard for me to start projects and like continue on with them. So a cleanse was definitely hard because food is one of my favorite things ever. But the Owl Venice cleanse is actually so easy to do. It's a bone broth and then hemp milkshakes. And it's really, really yummy. If you're vegan, they have a vegan broth. And I think the vegan broth is actually my favorite. It's with ACV and alkaline water and then all these really yummy mushrooms and herbs. And it's just so yummy for your gut. And if you don't live in LA, they actually ship them too. So if it's something that you've been interested in doing, I'd highly suggest trying this cleanse. You can have boiled chicken and steamed veggies with it as well. That are just like soft, easy things to digest. And I love it. The way in which I've watched my brain chemistry shift, even just, I'm on day two right now, but even the last time that I did it was really, really cool. I just found that I had so much more energy. I didn't have fatigue or brain fog midway through the day. Last time I wasn't able to work out or do any yoga. I think my body was just like really detoxing. But this time, you know, I woke up this morning at 6 a.m., I don't even wake up that early usually, and did a booty class on Aloe Moves and then a core yoga flow on Aloe, and then I did a meditation on another app. So I had like this beautiful home practice, which also I usually never do. I have to be in a studio, and it was just really cool to see the energy levels and the way in which I have been able to think clearly over the past 48 hours, and I'm excited to see what the last 2 days hold. But anyways, I wanted to share that with you guys because I really, really believe in this cleanse and I believe in it so much that I reached out to them and I was like, please make me an ambassador. I want to share this with so many people. And a lot of you guys actually asked me if I had a code last time and I didn't have a code, but now your girl's got a code. So if you guys want to try the Owl Venice cleanse, again, they just opened up a storefront off of Abbot Kinney in Venice, but they also do ship them if you're not in LA. So you can use the code Alchemized for 10% off of your reset. They have a 4-day, I think they have an 8-day and a 10-day. It's all real good and I'd highly suggest it. It's something that I want to start doing at least like once a month because I just really believe in it and I can see the way that it shifts my mind and my body. So anyways, I have a really special announcement. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you may have seen this the other day, but I officially will be teaching at Bandier off of Melrose starting July 6th every Saturday at 10 a.m. and every Thursday at 6 p.m. And I am so honored and just beside myself to have this opportunity to be teaching and to be teaching my new concept, Tone to Transform, which is really a combination of mind, body, and breath practices that allow us to tone our bodies in the way that, you know, we all kind of want to do, but then also look at the connection between the body and the breath and the mind and how when we work on our bodies, when we take the time out of our day to show up for ourselves, we start to create transformations across every area of our life. So it's a really, really powerful class and a concept that I've been working on over the past 6 months since I, as I like to call it, fell out of love with my yoga practice. And I'm really excited to debut it at Bandier. They've been so supportive with me creating this concept and giving me a platform to be able to teach it. So if you guys are local to LA or are going to be in LA on a Saturday or a Thursday, please come and take class with me. Your first class is free, which is super exciting. And Coffee Dose is right under the, it's on the first story and then the studio is on the second story. It's a beautiful, beautiful store, but Coffee Dose is underneath and I really want to create community around the class as well. So on Saturdays, I'm planning on teaching my class, and then afterwards hanging out and having coffee. So if you guys want to do that with me, hang out, talk about these concepts on the podcast, talk about class, talk about like the mind, the body, the breath, and all of the connection, or just talk about like random stuff too. I'm going to be there and I'm really excited for this opportunity. Again, it starts July 6th every Saturday at 10 a.m. and every Thursday at 6 p.m. Super, super fun. So anyways, let's jump into today's episode with Robin Youkilis. So Robin is an AADP certified health coach, author, speaker, sought after TV personality, and leading expert in holistic digestive health. She is the founder and CEO of the global health coaching practice, Your Healthiest You. For over a decade, Robin has helped clients shed both physical and emotional weight through her straightforward yet supportive coaching style. She is the author of the best-selling books Go With Your Gut and Thin From Within and has been featured by The View, The Today Show, E! News, The Cooking Channel, Home and Family, Cosmopolitan, The Wall Street Journal, Mind Body Green, Well and Good, and Chalkboard Magazine. That's a mouthful. She's been everywhere. And in today's episode, we talk a lot about gut health, of course, digestive health, and really how the intuition plays a role in all of these different functions within the body and how to achieve optimal gut health. You guys are really, really going to enjoy this episode. I'm so excited. Robin totally blew my mind, and let's just jump into the episode with Robin Youkilis. Robin, I'm kind of curious, did you know that you were going to be an author? Like, what were your goals when you were younger in like relation to career? Had you any idea that like writing books on gut health was going to be the thing?
Funny enough, for someone who speaks and teaches so much on intuition, I didn't see any of this coming. Absolutely none of it. My original, if you'd asked me when I was like a little kid, it would have been to be a veterinarian. actually, because I was always running around saving animals. Like every summer, I thought it was my personal responsibility to fish every frog that got in our pool's filter out of the system and like set them free. And I once found a dead squirrel in our pool and I like buried it and had a ceremony for it. And I'm Jewish. I sat Shiva for it. Like it was a big deal. Like that was my thing. So I love animals. But always at the same time, love food. And my mom's an incredible, incredible cook. And my dad ate life whole, like literally life and food, and just was one of those larger than life personalities. We used to go to super fine dining restaurants when I was like 5 years old. And eventually I found my way to nutrition school. And I'd love to share about this because I never really had that, like, this is the thing, or this is my target market, this is my niche, a goal is my book. I just kept doing the next right action. I was like, well, what feels fun? What feels good? What makes me feel excited? What also makes sense, right? But little by little, that's how I grew to where I am. And I feel like I say sometimes that it may have taken me a little longer than most people because I've been doing this now for 11 years. But what I feel like I've built feels so solid, and it feels like me. And it is something I want to get out of bed for every day and wake up to, because it's not someone else's vision, or it's not, you know, something else that I was like, this is the thing or the path I need to do. I just kept doing the next thing that sounded fun. And yeah, so the books became part of that, and they happened really, really organically. And they've quite a project, you know, book writing and launching books is, but they've brought me so much joy in connecting to readers in that way. Like it's very intimate. It's very intimate to put your heart and soul and your teachings into literary pages and have someone read it and take it in. It just, it's such a relationship that you create. And I really do feel that. So I'm super grateful for all of that.
Yeah. You know, that makes me feel so good, because I had someone ask me a question the other day and they're like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I'm like, shit, I don't know. You know, like I know what I'm doing today, and I know what fuels me today and what brings me joy today and tomorrow and like over the next month. But if someone were to ask me, like, where do you see yourself in like 5-10 years? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like following the things that feel good to me and like what is fun and what makes me happy and brings me joy. And so it feels good to know that I'm not the only one that had no idea.
Yeah, totally. And the only time that that's a problem is when you judge yourself for feeling like I should. And I spent a lot of years being like, I need to have the plan. I need to have the vision. And I didn't necessarily always have that. And yes, I do think a healthy amount of like, well, this could lead to that. Or maybe, you know, when I do sort of my planning for my business, I'm like, well, not right now, but maybe in next year or the year after that. I think that's all cool. But again, it should feel inspiring. It should feel uplifting. It shouldn't feel heavy and like, you know, something that you're kind of holding a tight grip on for yourself. Right, and it depends who you are too, right? Some people do really well with goals and 1-3 year plans and things like that. It's like, know thyself and what supports you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So how has your own journey influenced your career? Like, why gut health?
For me, I realized that it was a lot of what my clients were going through. And I actually didn't think it was my personal story, because I'd never suffered from IBS or necessarily digestive issues. Pooping was never really a problem for me. And then I realized, as a lot of the gut-brain connection research started to surface over the last 5 or so years, I realized, oh my God, like all of my childhood anxiety, some of my adult anxiety was directly connected to the health of my gut. And that's how it was showing up for me. And where that came from for me, a lot of it was a history of overuse of antibiotics. So I had chronic sinus infections as a child my whole life. And then also I have a moderate heart condition that at the time required antibiotics before I went to the dentist. And so, you know, went to the dentist a fair amount. I'm one of those kids that always had a lot of cavities. And so that was in my life a lot. And then anytime I did work for braces, for example, so it was a ton of antibiotics. And I realized that it was so connected to so many fears, so many crippling anxieties I had, so many mornings that I went crying to my mom, I don't want to go to school today. I can't go to school today. And she was the kind of mom that would let me out a lot. Like, she's like, sure, I'll write an over you. She's like, I want to hang out with you today, which I think was kind of amazing, except for the areas that I did need help on, and like math and like science, for example, probably would have been good.
Yeah.
If I was consistently
preaching to the choir,
right? In those classes. Like, I don't think I ever quite made up the time missed on those, but I certainly remember those times with my mom. But just thinking back to the whole big picture now and realizing at the start of my coaching career that I did wake up with panic and anxiety every day. And I used to say that I would have to talk myself into my workday. I would start from such a darker, negative place, and it would require me to get up and try to meditate even for a minute. I would read like Chicken Soup for the Soul. I'd read all these motivational books, just something to say like, you're okay, you're safe, calm down my system, and then start to build myself up before I could even get to my computer. So realizing that that was my story and that all my clients were, not that they had similar anxiety stories, but were suffering from digestive issues. They weren't pooping. They weren't allowing themselves the space and time to poop. They were confused around what would support their digestive systems. And that just became what I was talking about more and more and more. And then I started to realize that connection between cleaning up your gut. So my clients that were, I put them on these protocols for gut healing, soothing, calming everything down, really simple stuff though, like chewing and some aloe vera, just keeping it as general and simple as I could, because everybody is so different. Realizing when they were starting to clean up their guts that their lives were getting better. And they were changing careers or getting those relationships, or if they were in a relationship, it was deepening, and they were finding new friends or whatever it was that they needed in their lives. And I started to make that connection between a powerfully functioning gut and a powerfully functioning gut instinct. And that whole intuition conversation, and that if my clients were starting to hear those voices, those messages from deep within for themselves, and they started to listen to them more, their lives started to look more like that, how they wanted it to. Mm-hmm. And their bodies did, you know, sometimes not even, sometimes it's connected to physical weight. Most of the time it's not. You just feel better in all the ways. And so that's how it connected between gut health and gut intuition. And here I am. So I'm waving the flag around all day, every day.
Yeah. And you know, it's so cool because we instinctively don't think like, oh, gut health, it's, you know, gut instinct, your intuition and receiving those messages. Like when I first started hearing about gut health, it was simply digestion and, you know, pooping and all of those different physical, you know, ways in which bad or poor gut health can manifest in the body, but it wasn't that like mind body connection, which I think is really, really cool. You know, one of the things that has troubled me personally, and I know troubles a lot of people, is just that there's such an array of information out there. You know, like you said, especially over the past 5 or so years, and you go on Instagram, you go on social media, and you see these tips, this research, like this wellness platform promoting this. So what kind of advice would you give for listeners and myself that feel influenced by all of the noise out there? Like what should we be doing in order to not feel so overwhelmed and kind of like have a clear idea of what is right for us?
Yeah. So I like to empower my community, my clients, all of you guys, to know that you are always going to be your own best guide. You may have different times of your life where that feels stronger than others. For example, if you've been eating in a way that isn't supportive of your body, it might be harder for you to hear those messages, to know what's best for you. But I still want to like empower you to feel like, okay, maybe it's a little cloudier or a little weaker right now, but I have the ability to strengthen it. And I'm still going to turn to it. I'm still going to give my body a chance to communicate with me. And so how I share that shakes out in the practical realm is simply asking. The constant daily, hourly practice of tuning in, taking a few deep breaths, relaxing your belly, relaxing your digestive system, and just connecting with self and asking even the simple question, what would feel most supportive right now? And using that all the time, even if you feel like you don't need it, like, oh, I'm having a dinner that's like my tried and true best dinner, like still just asking, like, does this feel supportive for me right now? And hearing what the answer is. And even if it's a confirmation, even if it's an affirmation of what you're doing or what you're consuming, how nice is that to have that back and forth conversation with self? And so you feel just very empowered by your own ability in that. And this is something that takes practice. This is something that, you know, strengthens over time. And it is something that I still need to do daily around everything. I suffered from a long history of overeating, emotional eating, bordering on disordered eating. And I always say, like, I'm not there. I'm not like, oh, now I'm free of all of that. And I love my body and I never have negative thoughts. But I check in so many times a day. So many times a day, even just to like tell myself like, hi, I'm here. You're doing great. And it's all connected. It's all connected. And then I also really want to share that we tend to get into a wave of thinking, okay, I figured it out, or this is what's working for me, and assuming that like the next week when it doesn't feel as good, well, now I don't know anything. And I find information, like knowing that that's going to change, to feel very calming. So basically what I'm sharing in this is you're going to have, it could change all the time, and that's okay. So then again, you say, okay, well, this isn't working for me right now. What might seem better? Or what book am I connecting to more right now? Or what podcast episode is feeling supported and inspired? And letting it all be part of what you're taking in, but you are always your best compass. You are always your best meter for what you need to follow at any given moment. Mm. Does that make sense? So it's not like, oh, now I'm vegan and this is the thing. And then when it doesn't work, you're shattered. It's like, okay, it could be daily different, weekly different, monthly, yearly, anything like that. And just knowing that in advance calms the whole thing down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think where the frustration often seems to lie is that you see that something is working for someone else, or maybe it works for you for a given amount of time, and then it stops working. And then you feel like this, like it's like, why is this not working for me when it was working for other people? And at that kind, like the kind of at like the precipice of like the healing is really when that frustration comes up, at least in my own personal experience of just like, why not me when this works for someone else? Why is it that I've cut this and this, and it worked for a little bit, and now it seems like something else is causing these symptoms? So do you see that often with your clients when you're working with them in the beginning?
Yeah, I do. And that's why I share that it's going to constantly be changing. You're going to always need a check-in. What I share in my first book, Go With Your Gut, worked for X amount of time. And then when I share in my second book, Thin From Within, was supportive for another period of time. And now I'm in a different period of time where I'm like, what's supportive now? I think where we run into trouble is when we don't expect that, or we want it to be the same. We like grip so hard and so tightly, and we don't give ourselves that freedom to explore. It's like we get pissed at it rather than being like, okay, well, what's the information now? What do I need now? And pivoting with that.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point. And in a way, very empowering too, you know, like if you can't do dairy right now and your favorite thing is cheese, and then you get to a point where maybe in your life you can do dairy and cheese again, that's not that bad, you know?
Right, right. And I'd love to give that a tip. Like it's just not, may not be right for you right now.
Yeah.
Like put it on the for later list or the one day list. And again, that just calms. I want everyone just coming from a place of calm, coming from a place of support. And, you know, it might feel sad for a moment, you know, have your feelings, have your moment, have what you need to have around it, and then be like, okay, well, we'll revisit that in a little while and see how it feels then.
Yeah. So how much do you think the emotional state of being out of a state of calmness, influences the function of your gut?
Oh my God. So just think like right now, everybody listening, like go ahead and tighten your stomach, like do the women's, not stereotype here, but typically the women suck in, yep. Right? Look at my nice flat belly. And now think about a piece of food going through that. Mm-hmm. Like, ow, first of all. And like, and now go ahead and just relax all of that. And then I want you to relax it even further. Like that extra mile, that's the one we're really not used to, especially as women. Like it's all about like our core strength and, you know, tightening there. And we spend an hour long workout classes like squeezing, and that's might be okay for your core muscles, but it's not really great for your digestive system. And so it can feel very, very unnatural for us to really, really let go of that. And so really, really let go of that. Again, no judgment. This might be totally new for you. It might be uncomfortable. You may even cry. And then just think about what the eating experience would be like when you're consuming with your belly as relaxed as it is right now. And then just, this is why I say we complicate things so much, and why my mission is to keep it as simple as possible. We focus so much on the what to eat, when to eat it. Are we food combining? Are we starches with, you know, what time of the day? Just like paleo, keto, everything. But if you're not eating any of that from this completely open, relaxed, calm state, you're making it real hard on your organs. because we are that emotional piece, right? There is that, like, what are we holding on to and why are we gripping and why are we tightening? And this is something I work on with a lot of my clients around pooping, right? Going to the bathroom. Like, are you really letting yourself release? Are you giving yourself space to poop? Like, time. The other day I was like, oh, I'm going to number two. It's a good thing I didn't like try to catch the next ferry. I like gave myself some time, like actual literal time to use the bathroom. We don't do that a lot. But basically around our digestive system, yes, it has that energetic, what are you holding on to? But also really there is this practical piece that you do have these organs inside of you and they're not designed to be gripped while they're trying to do their job.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And so what are some things that listeners can do to prep themselves before they sit down and eat to get them into that calm state?
I love something that I teach. It's in both of my books. It's called the 1-2-3 Food Freedom Tool. And what it does is it just enacts all your senses. It brings you into the moment. And it gives your digestive system and your emotional system a much better chance to really enjoy your food. I like to give, the way that I work is that I like to give a tip or something to focus on instead of a eat more mindfully or turn the phone off. It's like, those are all things we know we should be doing, but our monkey brains are running all day long. If you don't give it something else to like play with, it just can feel a lot harder.
Yeah.
So first is look. So actually take a look at what you're about to eat. Like, a lot of us don't do this. Do this with a snack, even if it's an apple, if it's a bar, if it's a smoothie, whatever it is that you're eating, just give your eyes a second to take it in, because what that's going to do, it's already going to start your digestive process. So it's going to start your glands in your mouth salivating. Your belly is going to be like starting to get ready for food. Maybe you'll feel some rumbling. And it also brings in the joy of like a sensory experience. You're seeing the colors, you're seeing whatever it is, your creation, even if it's something that's like not considered like a healthy food, like whatever it is, you're like, cool, look at that. And that's your system also brings you into the present moment, because again, you're not often thinking about something else. You're like, oh, here I am with my apple. Mm-hmm. Next, as we were doing before, take a deep breath. So this is the best way to drop you into your belly, release any tension that you're holding on to there, and just, again, coming into your body, coming into the experience of eating. And mind you, this can be done pretty quickly. I'm not, you know, it'd be nice if you took some time with it, but this can take seconds, especially when you get really good at it. And then the third one is to chew. So I like to call myself the chewing queen. It's like what they're going to write on my gravestone one day.
Chewed really well.
Chewed really well and made everyone around her feel really guilty for wolfing their food down. It's funny because like some of my best friends are like, I don't want to sit next to Robin. Just makes me, not that I'm like guilting anybody, but they see how slowly I'm eating and it feels just so foreign for people. So chewing, ton of reasons. First, on the practical side, your saliva is meant to break down your food. I always like to give the tip, your stomach doesn't have teeth. Like, it's not supposed to break down your food for you. That would be weird if your stomach had teeth. It's supposed to happen in your mouth. Typically, we'll chew a bite between like 3, maybe 5 times before we swallow. It's practically whole. You're supposed to chew to like 20 to 30. Some people chew like even more than that. I like to just give, don't worry about the counting. Like we said earlier, like math was never my thing. I always say, just take whatever you're consuming as far as you can. So if you can get it to liquid, great. Some things don't really get there, like that's fine. If you're having a smoothie, let it hang out your mouth for just a second even. All of that's going to help the digestive process. And what that means is you're not going to put as much burden on your stomach to break down your food for you. Because if you're putting all that burden on your stomach and it's doing a job it wasn't designed to do, it's going to zap your energy resources. So that's part of the reason why we feel so tired after mealtimes, because your stomach is like, it's basically like you put like weights around it or weights around its ankle and it's trying to like get up a hill. So if you give it broken down, pre-digested food, essentially is what it is, it's going to have an easier time doing that job and giving you more energy from your food. And then another thing around this is I speak a lot in my work to emotional eaters, recovering everyday emotional eater. And so we hear a lot about, well, mealtime, 20 minutes, right, to know that you're full before your brain gets a signal, oh, I've had enough. We don't typically eat for that long. What this 1-2-3 food freedom tool does, again, look, breathe, chew, it's naturally going to get you to that 20-minute mark. So you're going to be mindfully eating without that, you know, banner over your head of, here I am, I'm eating mindfully, or, oh, I messed this up, or I didn't really have enough time. Like, it's actually going to be happening because you're going to be working on this practice rather than trying to do this theory. And also, I want to acknowledge, I get that this is impossible for everybody. I get some people, nurses are eating on their feet, or, you know, you get 20 minutes for a lunch break or whatever it is. do the best you can. Even if it's just one meal a week that you start with, I'm going to sit and practice the 1-2-3 food freedom tool. I have lunch on Sunday. I'm just going to sit with my food, enjoy it, notice what I notice. Notice what's coming up for me, right? Are you really uncomfortable? You're reaching for your phone. Like, you know, I'm not saying you can don't have to do anything. You listen to podcasts. Ideally, you're sitting. But a lot of the times I listen to things too. But really, it's more of this practice of, am I connected? Am I relaxed? Am I enjoying myself? I just do the best you can. Even if it's like your lunch hour, your lunchtime, not an hour work week, and you just get a few bites where you do this, like, great. That's amazing.
I really want to take a step back because you shared so much and I love those different steps. One of the things that you mentioned about your stomach working kind of over time, and I love the analogy that you gave of your stomach with weights trying to climb a hill. So what I'm kind of pulling from that, because, you know, there's different, you hear all this information about how there's different foods that can cause fatigue or energy depletion or bloating. And so is this kind of looking at, you know, any foods can cause that if you're not digesting them and eating them properly?
I do think some people have a stronger constitution.
Okay.
I do think that some people, it's a mix of things, come in with a stronger makeup. And it could be deteriorated from environmental reasons, whatever it is that's happening, stressors, toxins, et cetera. And I do think some people just naturally have a weaker constitution where they, no matter what, they're going to need more help. They're going to need more spices to help them digest their food. Raw salads are never going to work for them. They're always going to need their greens steamed or cooked, for example. I do think that there is just a range depending on your heritage, your DNA, your genetics, your environment, how you're eating. I do think that some people are just have a harder time than others in this department. Not to say that it's hopeless. It's just more like, okay, well, this is a thing that I'm going to pay attention to for myself. And knowing that, like, if you didn't have that, let's say you had a stronger digestive system and you could kind of eat anything, there'd be something else you'd be working on. We're all here to design to be working through things and sharing about it and going through our experiences in life. There's no like one that's better or worse than the other kind of.
Okay, you guys, let me know if you share my frustration. The supplement industry is ridiculously confusing at times. Between my favorite Instagram pages sharing different brands, the companies I see at events, and the books that share best practices for different health issues, I went through a phase of buying and trying everything on the market. And I'll be honest, a lot of what I found did absolutely nothing. Can you relate? The supplement industry is huge and booming, and while it is incredible that so many of us are starting to look to holistic health as a way to heal and maintain our body's ultimate health, it's important that we are being intentional with what we're putting in our bodies and really tuning into what's working and what's not. I'm currently working on a blog post that you'll be able to find on my website this week, but I first wanted to share with you New Earth and specifically their essentials packets. I've been incorporating the essentials packets over the past month, and I'm actually excited in noticing the changes that their organic, wild microalgae supplements have made with my brain fog and gut health. If you've ever tried microalgae supplements before, then you know that it's the most nutrient-dense organic food on the planet. And the essentials packets by New Earth deliver whole food nutrition in convenient daily packets, providing your body with high-quality, wild-crafted nutrients. There's no junk, no dyes, no artificial flavors, just pure whole foods, probiotics, and enzymes that your body craves. It's nature's multivitamin, and if you've been scratching your head wondering what to incorporate into your daily routine, then you have to try the essentials. New Earth is awesome enough to be giving all Alchemized Life podcast listeners 10% off of your order. So just head to naturesmultivitamins.com and enter the code Alchemized at checkout. Again, that's naturesmultivitamins.com and the code is Alchemized. All right, you guys, I was just about to walk out of the house, but I looked down and was so inspired by my Rothy's that I had to come on here and talk to you. So those of you that know me know that I live and breathe in athleisure. I have literally 20 pairs of yoga pants and I wear them all. And while my yoga pants collection is abundant, I really rely on my Rothy's as my number one shoe choice whenever I'm going to teach yoga, go out for the night, because they are so versatile and so cute. I heard about Rothy's basically everywhere and I had to check them out, and you guys are going to have to check them out as well. So let me tell you why I love them. So first of all, they're 100% sustainable. Mm-hmm. The shoes themselves are knit from recycled water bottles, and they've actually diverted over 25 million, yes, million, water bottles out of landfills. How awesome is that? So second, you don't need any downtime to break them in. I told you guys a while ago, I wore them to Disneyland and they absolutely did the job. No blisters, nothing. Third, they are machine washable and last forever. And BuzzFeed actually called them the forever shoe, which is awesome because, like I said, I love to keep my shoe collection small and get the most wear out of every single pair. So if you're wondering what shoe I got the sneaker in black. They have a super cute white and blue stripe down the back that make them look super sporty, but casual enough to still wear with jeans or yoga pants, a cute skirt, jean shorts, you name it. They release new colors all the time, and I'm currently vying for the rainbow sneaker. If you guys haven't checked them out yet, seriously, you got to. Besides their sneakers, they also have loafers, ballet pointed flats, and regular flats, and you guys really need to go to their website, rothys.com, so you can see all the different styles. So here's the deal. Head to rothys.com/alchemize to get your first pair of comfortable and sustainable shoes, and check out all the different styles they offer. Again, that's rothys.com/alchemized, and I'll link them in the show notes too. I want to talk to you about gut resets. Who needs them? What are some of the immediate benefits that you would have from doing a gut reset? And what is a gut reset?
Yeah, so in my more recent book, Thin From Within, I have a good gut reset, which is a 3-day plan. It gives you a food plan, essentially, a light template. Again, it's not like a didactic, it has to be this, but some suggestions, and just gives you a good framework to go off of for a few days to help reset your gut. So I created that because some people do just need a plan, or they do need to hit the reset button. It's when things get really busy or things get really noisy, or you don't understand what's making you feel a certain way, and you're just like, I just need someone to take my hand and guide me through this. And what I have in that protocol is generally like very calming, very soothing, very grounding. It's a lot of steamed vegetables. It's a lot of bone broth. It's not designed to be a diet. It's not designed to be a cleanse. It's designed to be a window of time where, first of all, you're making a lot of your own food. So that right there is going to be healing for you and get you more in that mindset of like, oh, I can meal prep some veggies. This isn't a big deal. So it starts to get you started on creating your own food and cooking your own food, which is always going to be better for your gut than a lot of purchased convenience things, no matter what, even if it's from Irawan. Simpler is generally better. Those should be treated as sometimes foods, not every day. So getting you in the kitchen, and then again, just a lot of calming foods. And it also gives you an opportunity to see, like, how do things make me feel? You know, how did that lunch make me feel? How did it, just to give you some clarity. And again, it's pretty general. And I do believe and teach that not one thing works for everyone, but I tried to create something that I've seen work for most people. And giving yourself that space to say, I'm taking care of myself. I'm eating really soothing, calming foods for my gut. It just empowers you to then work from that place. You feel like, oh, I can do this. I can make making some of my own foods a priority. I can focus on getting more vegetables in. I can have that bone broth be a new habit in my weekly routine. And then hopefully, like, when you bring in some more of your own foods that you enjoy, it feels more balanced. And again, not a diet, not supposed to be cleansed, just an opportunity for your belly to just shh a little bit, because a lot of us need that help.
Yeah. So you're kind of taking out all like food allergens. And within 3 days.
I have dairy okay. in there, but you have a non-dairy option.
Okay.
And then also even another option besides that, if you're someone who knows that dairy or non-dairy option is just not for you.
Okay. So your gut can really start to reset itself within 3 days.
Yes. That's your hormonal really cool. cycle resets after like 36 hours or something. It's really unbelievable. The body is amazing. I just want to share this. Like, your body wants you to feel good. Your body wants to run really well. It's like a Porsche. It wants to like fly down the freeway or Malibu Canyons. Like, it wants to vroom and like carry you through life like that. And so when you just give it a little bit of that nurturing, a little slowing down, a little calming down, that's why if any of you have been to like a yoga retreat or a space like that, you feel so good after, because you just gave your body a chance to rebalance itself. Yeah. Our lives aren't designed that way, unfortunately, but you know, you get it in where you can, even if it's just one day of something like the reset in your routine.
Yeah. You know, and I did a 4-day, I don't know if it's a gut reset. It's, do you know the brand Owl Venice?
Yeah, I've done. I love them. Their bone broth's amazing.
Yeah, really good. So I did 4 days of that, and that was my first time ever doing anything like that. And it was just so empowering also to know that I could do that. Like you said, you know, to be able to cook my own food, to have steamed veggies and bone broth, and to not have any coffee for 4 days straight. It was really cool to watch myself, you know, be able to move through that and not rely on emotional eating or just habitual, like grabbing for that snack or grabbing for a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah. It's we all need these check-ins, right? We all need these check-ins. Even me, I find like, oh, what I, my thing is, like the two bites thing. Like if there's, I have a 3-year-old toddler, and like there's constantly always little bits of food around, and then my husband's food. And then, if I'm with working with someone or whatever it is, someone from my team, and like, it's like, oh, do you want this? Oh, the two bites. It's like, no to all the two bites. Like, slow down, take a second. What do I really need here? Am I hungry? Do I want a full snack? Because at the end of the day, you've had all like 10, two bites, and it's just, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. Because you're also asking your body to constantly be digesting. And our systems don't really function the best that way.
What do you think is the best way for, actually, I might have to take this question back because I know that it's different for everybody, but for the people that you work with, how do you usually recommend eating throughout the day?
Yeah. And I can actually really answer that from the digestive health perspective. So I do recognize, just like you said, everybody's different. Some people that need more blood sugar balancing kind of philosophy, that's different to me than a digestive health philosophy. They do need to eat more often or do better with snacks, and depending on your life and your lifestyle. But from a digestive point of view, our stomachs are like a fireplace. They like to burn brightly, burn through their wood, and then be done, not constantly like having some flame going for days and days and days. So the analogy I give for that is, think of a pot of rice. So if you have a cooked pot of rice, go through that rice. But if you add some more grains on top of that, you're going to end up with some cooked grains and some not cooked grains. So to keep that fire burning brightly, ideally you want to have a complete meal and then let your body have full, complete time to digest it. So that doesn't mean you don't have a snack a few hours later if that works for you, but give yourself those few hours and let your food completely digest, and then tune into like, oh, I feel hungry again. Again, connecting back, are you having something out of habits, or are you just reaching because it's there? That's how your digestive system works best.
And what about before we go to sleep? Is there a certain amount of time that we should wait?
Yes. I rarely follow it though. I'm just being totally honest. Yes, of course, right? There's definitely some principles, right? Like water upon rising, lemon water is great. You know, lots of veggies. There's some things that we absolutely can all agree on, you know, not eating late at night, but some people it's just not that practical, but it is something I keep in mind. Like I know, if I'm eating at 9 o'clock or if I have a dessert late at night, I'm not going to sleep as well that night. It's a fact, a fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a choice. I make a choice. And the thing is, it's not that it's a wrong choice, but at least it's a conscious choice. And that's when you don't wake up the next day with regret or, I did all that last night. I need to fix it. It's like, well, okay, I'm choosing to have dessert tonight. And like, maybe I'll sleep like crap and not feel so great, but like, it's my choice. And then when you wake up and you're like, okay, there's a reaction that I thought was going to be here. Cool. No big deal. What can I now move on to? It's when it's not, doesn't have that intention behind it, is when it feels like something you need to fix or you feel guilty about or just like, oops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it certainly doesn't help your calm state.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there are so many different levels of like shame and judgment we can feel from eating, and to be able to kind of take a step back. And that's why I love the work that you do and the simplicity of it and the intuition connected to the eating. I think it's so important because it takes the shame out of our experiences of eating, what should be joyful experiences. You know, I had the same upbringing. My dad loves going to super fancy restaurants, and he would put together like 2 chairs for me when I would fall asleep. So it would be,
oh
like,
my God, bed. Same.
Yeah. So I totally, totally understand. And food is something that brings me and my family so much joy, and to have any shame wrapped around it is a challenging, you know, thing to go through for sure.
Yeah. And even bringing up family, like that can be tricky, right? You go home for a week or in your environment or something else that's the equivalent of that, and you end up feeling not good at the end of the week. What I want you to do is at least just go into that week conscious. Like, what choices am I making? Am I going to enjoy and just relax about it? Maybe drink some helpful digestive teas, or have my water increase, or, you know, it's just that mindfulness behind it. And there have definitely been trips where I've gone to my husband's family and there's always this bag of cookies on the counter. And sometimes I've said before I'm going, well, where am I at right now? What do I need? What would feel good to me? And I'm like, eat the cookies. All good. No big deal. I eat the cookies. I enjoy it. Sometimes I'm like, actually, Robin, like, you've been having a lot of sugar. You're feeling sluggish. You've got some big things coming up the following week. You don't have time or space to do the reset after it or a couple weeks after it. Like, it's a hard no on the cookies. Mm-hmm. And not because I'm trying to be skinny or diet or restrict, but I just know that that wouldn't be supportive of me. And because I do come from this emotional eating background that's not healed, not fixed, but something rather that I constantly have to connect to and check in on, sometimes I do need to say no. I do need to say no and say no with love. Mm. So I'll bring my dark chocolate. I'll bring something else that I'm like, okay, you can have them, you know, no big deal, but it's just not going to trigger you or trigger your body in the same way that the bag of cookies would.
Yeah. And everyone else, pause off the dark chocolate.
Right? No, I have. I hide it in my room.
So how often do you do the gut reset? Is it, again, just like checking in with yourself to see when you need it?
Yeah, basically, typically a couple times a year. That's it. Okay. I could do it more often. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of work. Like, it's, there's definitely some cooking. You need some intention. And with my travel and schedule, I just haven't done it. But I will say that I haven't felt that I've needed it as much because I really am in this place where my food is, I do feel good from it, that I'm just like, no, things feel balanced. Like, there isn't something that I, a habit that I want to evaluate or check back in. And I have done the Owl Venice cleanse, which has been great. But yeah, I definitely feel like I could, it could be one coming on would be really nice because it just feels so good too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so question for you, because what I found doing a reset like that was the amount of like mental clarity and like the, it was like the brain fog just like completely went away. So what, where does that connection come from? Is it from like the bacteria being gone or what, like what's going on?
Yeah. So having processed sugars, processed starches, even sometimes grains for people, dairy for people, sugar, whatever it can be. Again, I'm not here to be like, take out gluten and take out sugar and your life has changed. That's absolutely not true for some people. But for some people, when you kind of have this myriad of things that your body's like can find is fine with, but not necessarily processed so well, and you remove them in some capacity, then yes, you're giving your digestive system a chance to take a break. And then yes, with the foods that are on the reset or something maybe similar that you found, you're gonna be nourishing those good gut bacteria. You're gonna give your belly a chance to get more of those probiotics, and then that is gonna in turn function better in your entire body in the way that you process your food, and it's gonna go to your brain. You're gonna likely produce more serotonin, your body's neurotransmitter, or your feel-good transmitter, for example, and because 90% of that is made in your gut. And so when you're nourishing your gut, getting those good for your gut bacteria, it's creating more happy juice, essentially, in your brain, and you're gonna feel that. Your belly is responsible for so many of your system's functions, like so much. Like 80% of your immune system is located in your digestive system.
Wow.
So when we talk about wellness and like feeling good, it's all in your belly. We are all bacteria. There's trillions of bacteria on us and in us. And it really is like, how am I feeding those bacteria? Like, what diet am I giving them? Not even just what diet am I eating for myself? Like, what's my bacteria feeding on? And then what is it then in turn, how is it feeding me?
So what's the deal with probiotics? If you don't change your diet at all and add in probiotics, are you like, is that good? Are you feeding the bad bacteria too?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a place to start. I've had clients that, you know, come to me and they're not there yet, right? There's only so much you can focus on at a time. And maybe they just need more of the emotional support or holding. And so if we add a probiotic in, typically you are going to see some change, depending on your issues. If you do have some extreme digestive disorders, then the probiotics may not work because your body can't absorb them. But for most people, just simply adding a probiotic is going to start that process of their bellies feeling better. But definitely it is a diet and lifestyle thing. And then also getting probiotics from food sources. So I'm a really huge fan, big fan of raw fermented sauerkraut. It has to say raw fermented. It's not the stuff like from hot dogs. It's not, I've like people share with me on social media, like, look, I got sauerkraut. It's like a jar from the shelf. I'm like, can you return that? That's not what it
is. They're so, outside of the hot dog stand in New York.
Yeah. Like, no, that's not it. But thankfully the health food stores and farmers markets, like that's a food that we're starting to see. It's like Costco carries raw fermented sauerkraut, for example. So having a little bit of that in your day, essentially just for typical Americans, we've gotten a lot of those foods out of our diet. Like it's pretty standardized diet of like, you know, hot dogs or what feels good. And even in the health food section, you know, there's just not as much of those live fermented foods. And if you go around the globe, there's live fermented foods with like every single meal. And so just getting some of those in your belly, you're likely again, going to start feeling better, having more energy, be sick less often. Yeah. And it's great that I'm teaching this right now because I'm like, have I been having enough fermented foods lately? Maybe not. So just a good reminder for self too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned, you know, was the cutting, or you don't necessarily like tell people to cut things out. What are your thoughts on like the food sensitivity tests that are like the at-home food sensitivity tests?
I haven't tried them because ultimately most of the people I work with, like they know, they don't, it's, you know, I and for my like entrepreneurial minded friends or health coaching friends, like I keep to a very specific conversation. So for people, if they want to test that, then yes, they may need a little more support. They may need a naturopathic doctor. They may need to go to an East-West practitioner, for example. And that wouldn't be me. So I'm the person that says, start with these calm down, slow down, taking more time, chewing, eating more mindfully. And then yes, it'd be great to do an elimination diet with the top foods that you likely have a sneaking suspicion on. And then you can use one of my food mood journals that I have as a free download for my book, Thin From Within, and see how you feel. And then if you don't get to like a huge next step after that, then yeah, like sometimes I will call a doctor or something. I'm like, I'm not sure how coffee is affecting me lately. Can we test that? Can we see what's going on? You might need more answers. It depends where you are in your journey and everybody is so different.
Yeah. What do you think are like the immediate side effects that a lot of people or your clients see from specific foods or like allergens? Like coffee, for example, is something that I'm trying to cut out right now. And I am at the point, well, I'm day two, so I don't know, but I'm at the point where I'm like, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to feel like differently.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have that, even with like probiotics too. Like, how do I how do I know it's working? You know?
Totally. I think for things like that, what I tend to say, it's less that you know it's working and more that you know when it's not. What am I trying to say? Like basically you notice when you're not feeling it versus like, oh, I feel better when you, so for example, I'll give an example of this for me, adaptogens. So adaptogens meaning roots like ashwagandha example. Right. Exactly. So when I put some of that in my morning drink, my magical morning matcha, for example, it's not that I feel better, but when I have a period of time in my diet, when it's not there, I don't feel as great. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It's like meditation too, you know, like I teach meditation and people are like, I've been doing it for a couple of weeks, but I don't really feel anything. And I'm like, well, maybe you should stop doing it for 4 days and see how you feel after that.
And I'm the same exact way with meditation. I'm like, oh, I'm just a little crankier. I'm just quicker to just be like, you know, that's kind of how I feel. So yes, people can have, depending where you're starting from, astounding results. They can be like, oh my God, my brain fog did lift. My skin cleared up. I'm not bloated anymore. You know, I'm not having acid reflux anymore. Absolutely, we can notice those symptoms. But literally, if you look up symptoms for like any kind of digestive issue, there's 50 on there.
Yeah.
It's like anything that could possibly go wrong. So I just encourage people to just tune in, get quiet, and say, like, how do I feel? How do I feel? Do I feel better than I did yesterday? Great. And then also trusting that, like, maybe today, this week, you don't feel as great, but maybe you're getting your period or something's happening at the moon or there's just like, someone's funky in your world right now. Like it's all part of it. So that's what that does. It empowers you as your own best advocate and it disempowers all the things happening around you and the need to find the answer because it's probably always changing. It's based on your environment, moon cycle and everything that's happening. It's just this constant conversation. And so I think it's really helpful if you mentally adjust your expectation of it being like, well, I have this figured out, like your coffee thing, like, oh, now I know. Maybe it's a little gray, but maybe you feel a little bit better and that's enough. And then you'll check in again and see how you feel.
Have you always had this mentality around, you know, kind of releasing the expectations and being more like fluid, or has this been a taught and learned mindset?
I think it's just something I developed myself over many, many, many years of working on this.
Yeah.
And finally getting to a place, like at some point I really did have enough of like trying the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I think I spent like 7 years, in my health coaching career and plus all the years before that, my life. I was like, I'm not going to pick up another book and be like, this is the thing that's going to fix me. I think it just really did develop out of being done with that and hearing doing some of that gut healing work and hearing my own intuitive voice much more strongly. And also definitely having my daughter and becoming pregnant was a huge turning point for me. Because I really did start to realize, like, in thinking about having a family and how was my body functioning then and, you know, what was going on and how did I feel that it was going to be the home of growing this baby. And I wanted my home to be as top shape as it possibly could be. And then I had this moment where I was like, I live here all the time. Like, I want this body to feel good for me. And I think with each little aha, I started to drop a little bit more of the pressure and lean more into this fluidity, essentially.
Yeah. I think.
And that's what I've been practicing the last like 4 years or so. So that has just strengthened.
I just think that is something that we all go through that cycle of having that tight grip of searching for the answer, looking for that next best thing and getting to the point of allowing that to fall away so we can tune in more. So I just love that process that you've been through because I feel myself in it as well. And I'm sure so many people listening also feel themselves in it. You mentioned.
I also know one thing I want to say on that too before the next thing is like, this could take you years. Mm-hmm. I just really like to give people an accurate time expectation. We think like you work with a health coach and it'll be 6 months and it's like years, because how long have you been eating this way or how, you know what I'm just saying? So just like knowing like, oh, okay. Like the way that I'm working with one-on-one clients now is in a year-long program because that's how long it takes to really, really support someone and not to say you can't get a benefit from a month or whatever it is, but like to go through those highs and lows and the ebbs and flows to find a new way. And even beyond that, like it really does take time. So just like everybody take a deep breath and just let go of this, like this time pressure that we put on ourselves.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I have definitely been going through that of realizing like, especially moving on to like using natural ways and holistic ways to heal ourselves. You know, I think that we're so primed from a lifetime of going to the doctor, getting a pill that immediately fixes us 24 hours later. And so we have this expectation that adaptogens or supplements are supposed to do that same thing, but it's not the same thing. And so I love that you do a year-long program because it is breaking through the habits that have been facilitating whatever disease we've felt in our body and creating new patterns and new ways and mindsets around our healing and around our bodies. I think that it's so important to have the time and the space to be able to do that.
Yep, exactly. And also the supplements, the truth of the matter is supplements and adaptogens are like 1/100th of the strength of a lot of medications and pills. And a lot of those things have side effects. And mind you, there is absolutely a place for Medicaid. God bless Western medicine. We're all extremely lucky to have it and to have those medications for some. But yeah, the more holistic route takes some time and some exploring and patience. But I think it's good. It's good to like take a pause and see what your body's really needing or asking for and do your best to listen.
Yeah. So do you have a exercise or a routine or ritual or just tips for people that want to start tuning into their body more and having that conversation? Like, what does that look like for you on a daily basis when you check in?
Yeah, it's just really simple. It's again, that deep belly breath, just like taking even just one and just asking myself what would feel most supportive right now. And then listening for the answer. And then trying to listen to it. And mind you, I spent years hearing the answer and not listening to it. Like, put the cookies down. I'm like, I hear you, but I'm going to just keep going. And then like, I bash my head in the cabinet or something like that. But yeah, just this constant asking what would feel most supportive right now. Sometimes it's a walk around the block. Sometimes it's just taking a minute and just getting stronger and stronger in listening to it too. And knowing that that's a process and will likely take some time too. Mm-hmm. But I do it all day, every day.
Yeah, I do that. I've started doing that in the morning now. So I gave myself like a 2 hour or 3 hour chunk in the morning. And rather than getting up and doing the same exact thing every single day, the first thing that I ask myself is what does my mind and body need first? And just doing that and trusting that. You mentioned, I have like just one or two more questions for you. I told you, I'm so excited to pick your brain. But you mentioned gut health related to hormones. And I recently had Dr. Jolene Brighton on, and she spoke about how, she spoke about how the pill can change your gut from the, like, everything going on hormonally. So how do you work with your clients when, and as it relates to hormones and gut health?
I don't specifically. I trust that if I take them through a gut healing protocol or give them some of these simple tools, that their hormones will benefit.
Okay.
So it's like, so I would say if you have PCOS, if you have irregular periods, like, then you should go through Dr. Jolene Brighton's protocol. Like, that's your place to start, and your gut will be supported through that.
Yeah.
If you're having more bloating, acid reflux, trouble digesting your food, things like that, that you know, like, your belly's just not happy, then come the gut health way, and it will support your hormones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally. So where do people start with you then? What is, like, what book should they start with? Where should they go? How do we get into your ecosystem?
So I first say always my website. It's my baby. I've been doing this for 11 years now. So my newsletter, I still send one every single week, and blogs, and lots of awesome goodies over there. So that's just my name, robinnewpolis.com. And then that's also my Instagram. I'm sure you'll share everything. And then Instagram's where I, like, daily hang out, of course, but the goods really are in my newsletter. So I encourage you to sign up for that. And then for the books of where to start, I love this question. The first book, Go With Your Gut, is kind of more the gut health primer and intuition primer. So it's really that conversation, taking you through shopping, what to toss, what to keep. A lot of my very tried and true recipes are in there. They're my weekly favorites, for example. The more recent book, Thin From Within, if emotional eating, or it's more like you have digestive issues because you're eating complicated foods, or you're not sure what to follow, or you're still overeating, you're eating your feelings, and that's more your story, and you need to calm that down, then Thin From Within is great, because it's around the gut health and intuition approach, but more around that conversation.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And I have one last question for you. So what are three things that listeners can do at home to start giving their gut some love?
Oh, so first, like, adopt the mindset of, like, this is something that I'm consciously working on or making an effort, you know, just like, okay, like, now I've heard this information, this, I'm going to bring this into focus. And then knowing too, that, like, you're not going to be able to focus on everything. So if you just spend, you know, month of July or whatever it is, just being like, okay, I'm going to, whatever month you're in, like, okay, this is, I'm going to focus on my gut health. I'm going to get one of these books. I'm going to practice some of these tips, and I'm going to see how I feel. So first off would be definitely mindset. Second would be water, a giant, like, 24-ounce glass first thing in the morning. I want everybody pooping, and not just from coffee and stimulants. So giving yourself that much water is going to give your belly its own opportunity, its own best shot of releasing and having a nice number two. So I would say if poop is the boat, it can't float without a river. So first thing. And those 24-ounce mason jars are great. You can get them on Amazon. I like them also because they have a lid. So some people are, like, funny about, you know, air things, or they have a cat, for example. You can just put that on the nightstand, bring it into the shower with you. Like, don't let yourself leave the house before you've finished it. So that would be one. And then the third, I would definitely say experiment with fermented food. You know, some fermented ginger carrots, for example, or ruby red kraut. Just getting in one to a few tablespoons to start, and you can work your way up to half a cup. Want to give the tip, like, those are a condiment. They're not meant to replace fresh vegetables. People are like, okay, I'm going to eat the whole jar. It's like, no, no, no. There's a lot of sodium in there, and, like, you know, not meant to be eaten, consumed by the cupful. But starting with one to a few tablespoons, and then working your way up, and see if that helps. See how you feel after your meal. See if you enjoy it. Also, the flavor of fermented foods are amazing. We have so much sweet and salty in our diet, and fermented foods are sour, and your taste buds and your system enjoys that. It likes a variety. It likes bitter foods. We may be, you know, like, oh, that's too bitter, but, like, your body likes that. It's good for you. So trying that, even just for the flavor, some of those sour notes is really great. So those would be my three tips.
Thank you so much for sharing all of those. Again, awesome analogy with the river and the poop boat.
You'll never forget it. That's for sure.
No, I will not. I love it. Robin, thank you so much for coming on the Alchemized Life podcast. I am forever grateful for all of the information that you've given me and my listeners. And I just am so honored to have a bright light such as yourself on the podcast, sharing all of this wisdom, your story, and everything that you offer.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone listening. I appreciate you and know how valuable your time is. So I'm just grateful that we got to spend it together. So please send me messages. Let me know how this was. I love connecting with everyone. And thank you for having me. This was really, really fun.
How cool is Robin? I know. There is so much that I took away from this episode, especially just the entire sentiment about intuition when it comes to all of our, you know, nutritional or digestive health issues. I think that it's such a cool way to look at it that often we can forget, but ultimately a woman's intuition is strong and we should be following our intuition. So for those of you that want to stay up to date with everything Robin is doing, as she mentioned, please go follow her on Instagram at Robin Youkilis. And then if you are listening and want to leave a review, it would mean so much to me. And everything mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes, including upcoming events, sponsors, and all of that fun stuff. I will see you all next week.